T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Look at the other MVPs and conversations in this league. Russell's still playing behind, you know, according to Pro Football Focus, and we can all take that with a grain of salt, but 28th in pass efficiency in terms of the Seattle Seahawks, and Russell's still performing at this type of level. So it's pretty impressive all the way around.
Jake, is this the best supporting cast Russell Wilson has had on offense? You know, I know he had Golden Tate and Doug Baldwin and Marshawn Lynch, but it seems like with Chris Carson and DK Metcalf coming on and, of course, Tyler Lockett, it seems like this is his best supporting cast that he's had at the skill position set.
It definitely is. I would say that they're more connected than ever before. There's always been some interesting dynamics between Russell and different guys in this offense, whether it's Doug Baldwin or Golden Tate or any of those guys. I think right now everything is good in this building here at the VMAC. You got a young rookie who is just extremely hungry to get better every day in DK Metcalf, and has, you know, far exceeded everybody's expectations in terms of what he could do as a rookie. Tyler Lockett and Russell have an unbelievable connection. Tyler Lockett is showing that he is a true number one in this league, not just a nice role player, a guy who fits in this offense. I mean, he's making catches that I didn't know he had in him, honestly, with one-handed grabs. And he's a dangerous player, especially in the middle of the field. And their connection outside the pocket when things break down, it's really tough to defend. So, yeah, Chris Carson, he's a special back. I mean, this is a special group that they have, and this is an offensive-driven team, which is quite incredible to consider when you have Pete Carroll as your head coach. And, you know, he's got a clear philosophy in terms of wanting to run the football and play great defense. And that is, you know, they've been able to run the football, but they haven't been able to play great defense. And that's been a big change and shift in this past season.
Jake, you know Russell Wilson pretty well. You're affiliated, obviously, with his passing academy. What's the thing that Russell Wilson works the hardest on because he perceives it to be his biggest weakness?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually have worked with him personally over the last two seasons. And I think there's a couple things. One, it was really, you know, everybody's been doubting his ability inside the pocket, although you go look at his numbers, and his numbers are fantastic. You know, I think that there was another level that he could get to within the pocket, and I think that's something that he's really worked on, is, you know, being able to move in the pocket well, step up in the pocket, trust the pocket. It hadn't always been there for him. I think that's part of the problem, is people were asking him to be a pocket passer, and there was no pocket to be in. But he's been very comfortable in that area. You see Russell move forward more so than pirouette, you know, making a ton of pirouettes and running backwards that you saw early in his career as a passer. So I think that that's one thing that he's really improved in his game. The other side of it is what I mentioned in terms of his knowledge of the game. You know, Russell right now has a PhD in NFL defenses and in offenses right now. He feels very confident in what he's seeing. There's not really much you can throw at him that he hasn't seen before. And is getting his team in a constantly good position. And the third thing, guys, is his connectivity. I know that's a funny thing to say, but he is this group right now. They are very well connected. There's no drama on the team. Russell is the clear-cut leader on this team, and everybody around him is rallying around him. And you know, he's one of the most veteran guys on this team. So he's not the young rookie, you know, a 1-2 player in this league where you had a bunch of vets and older guys in that locker room. So I think that this group is firing on all cylinders, and in terms of the offensive side of the ball, and Russell, you know, connecting with those guys is a big part of that. And so that's been a nice change that you've seen happen over the last two seasons, and it's coming through in a big way this year.
Jake, Richard Sherman is going to talk to the media tomorrow, and I'm sure this question will come up. So I wanted to ask you about his relationship with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. And I can remember, and the reason I ask is him going off on the sideline about the play call with Pete Carroll, and then him making some comments about Russell Wilson. Did he leave with bad blood between those two? What can you tell us, or what do you know about those relationships with Richard Sherman?
Yeah, I'll say this first is, you know, I was there when Sherm was there, and Sherm was an unbelievable teammate. He was an unbelievable teammate. He was a guy that, in terms of just all ball and competitiveness and fire, I mean, he was a force in that building in terms of, you know, this is how you practice. You know, if, you know, me as a third string quarterback trying to crack the roster, if I wanted to ask Richard Sherman questions about defense and how he plays, and all, he was all for it. And that's not something that you can say in every NFL locker room with every NFL superstar. So I'll say that first. Now, with how things ended here, it ended bitterly, that's for sure. You know, I think Sherm did it more to himself in terms of the way he left and kind of the flames that he left out and the things that he had to say. I know that Pete Carroll and, you know, Russell Wilson, they're going to go at this from the standpoint that, look, they appreciate everything Sherm brought to the teams beforehand. They're not holding on to any personal grudges, but Sherm is definitely mad. He's definitely mad about how things ended, and he's having a great time, and they're being very successful with the 49ers, but it'll always bother him about what could have been here in Seattle in terms of a dynasty, and I think that he carries that with him, and I think that's a huge part of why he is a 49er right now.
Yeah.
Not just with the roster, but also the chance that he gets to play the Seahawks twice a year. So, you know, this is a game that he very much looks forward to. And guys, last year, it didn't really matter because, unfortunately, the 49ers weren't any good and had a bunch of injuries. But now this is an opportunity for Richard Sherman. The 49ers are undefeated. They beat the Seahawks. This could be a game for him where he feels vindicated in, you know, saying the things that he said as he walked out the door, that they're not the team that they used to be, and look at me now, I'm in the better situation, I'm on the better team. I think that this is an opportunity for Sherm, from his perspective, to really kind of drive the knife in, if so to speak.
Jake, real quick, you talked about the dynasty. Thank you to Pete Carroll for deciding to throw the ball on the 1 yard line against the New England Patriots. Us down here in the Bay Area, we appreciate that. And then number two, just what's going to happen Monday Night Football, man? How are the Seahawks going to slow down this running game of the 49ers and this budding quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, look, this is going to be an incredible challenge for the Seahawks. There's no question about that. The 49ers are one of the more complete teams in the league, and obviously you see the defense and the way that they're playing. They're lights out, and their front four is a huge reason why. It's very reminiscent, and that's why us in Seattle, you know, you kind of look at it and you're a little envious, you know, because you knew what you had. It looks very similar to the 2013 and 14 Seahawks in terms of that defensive line rotation, and so that's a big factor for them in terms of the passing game and affecting passers. But I think that the Seahawks, they feel very confident about who they are and what they can be, and the fact that they've been a really good football team in November and December under Pete Carroll. And this is going to be a game where it kind of shows what this team really is. They're 7-2, but there's a lot of questions about, are they a legitimate 7-2 playoff team? So we're going to find out a lot. But guys, honestly, this is not just me being a homer, a Seahawk homer, but I think this is going to be a really close matchup. I think this is going to be a divisional game that's going to be really tough. And, you know, I think the one weakness that the 49ers have that fits into the Seahawks' hands perfectly is the fact that they haven't been very good in run defense. You know, and since week four, the 49ers have given up 5.54 yards per rush attempt, which ranks them 31st in the NFL. So, you know, that's not something that you'd like to see as a 49er defense, but that's a clear weakness that they have, and it's also a strength of the Seahawk offense. So if they can run the football and keep this game close and keep it into the fourth quarter, I like our chances with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. You know, they've always been great in the fourth quarter. So I think the clear upper hand is to the 49ers, but don't be surprised if the Seahawks make a game out of this.
Jake, thank you so much. Great stuff, and just hope it's a great game on Monday night.
Yeah, me too. I'm very much looking forward to it. You guys have given me plenty of anxiety in this one, but it's going to be a fun one, guys.
All right, Jake. Have a good one. That's Jake Heaps on the Dial Pad.
Damn.
Guess
if you haven't fired up, you fired up now. Richard left it scorching, baby.
Hey, I'm telling you. Thank you for throwing the football at the 1 yard line, because you imagine.
He still
that rivalry,
feels like he should be on the Seahawks.
Oh, man.
He feels like a dynasty, not man.
Yeah, no, he's going to be ticked off. I can't. When is Richard Sherman speaking? Tomorrow? Is it tomorrow when he's going to speak to the media?
I thought we had Cam say he was talking Friday when we talked to him.
Friday, that's tomorrow then. I can't wait for that.
So. Let me just throw this out there. I'm reading this Mike Silver story from 2012 about how supposedly Harbaugh honked at the Seattle Seahawks bus after the 49ers won 13-6. And here's a story. Here's a quote from Richard Sherman. Harbaugh honked his horn at the bus and waved, said Sherman, who did not witness the incident. That happened. A bunch of guys told me, yeah, he was definitely honking. Now, in light of Richard Sherman saying Baker Mayfield didn't shake hands with him when Baker Mayfield did shake hands with him, what do you think the odds are that Jim Harbaugh honked or didn't honk?
98% he honked. That's why I want him back in the NFL. He's a former NFL player. He honked, and I love every bit of it. And, Jim, if you're listening, come back to the NFL.
40% chance Jim Harbaugh honked. Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman were just bitter about the loss on Thursday Night Football. In a way, the 49ers won that game. The Seahawks shut down the Niners. Held Vernon Davis without a catch. Held Vernon Davis without a catch. And they probably thought, how the hell are we walking out of Candlestick Park without the dub? I'm going to back up the truck. 20% chance Jim Harbaugh honked.
Norm would call this a tall tale. You don't believe it.
I kind of think it's a tall tale also. I really do. But whatever, it's part of the lore of these two teams in this rivalry, that's for sure. By the way, coming up at noon, Mike Holmgren. Mike Holmgren on with us at noon. He, of course, coached the Green Bay Packers to a Super Bowl title. He coached the Seattle Seahawks. Before that, he was with the San Francisco 49ers, a San Francisco native, as a matter of fact. Mike Holmgren, noon.
I'm going to shock you. Because Jake mentioned how porous the Seahawks run defense has been.
Right.
But Arizona's was just as bad, but they sold out and were like, we're going to make Jimmy beat us. So I feel like that's what Seattle's going to do. Like, you ain't beating us with the run. Oh, boy, pretty boy, you're going to have to do it through the air, because there's no other way, Bonte, because they have been – I've been watching – they've been getting gashed, Seattle. But you got to feel like we're going to see more of Jimmy again, because the box is going to be loaded. And here you go, Jimmy, again, to do two back-to-back games with showing everybody, I can do this stuff if y'all call the plays.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to see how this game develops. By the way, going back to the Harbaugh and Honk Gator whatnot later that year – when the Seahawks blew out the Niners a week after they beat the Patriots in New England, they go to Seattle and get smoked. And Richard Sherman and a bunch of Seahawk players were telling Pete Carroll, if we score another touchdown, let's go for two so we can get 50 and pay back Harbaugh. Richard Sherman wanted to do what Harbaugh did to Carroll back in Stanford when he went for two and didn't get it.
And he didn't go for it?
No, they didn't score another touchdown.
But Pete Carroll wasn't going to do it.
He wasn't going to do it.
He said, we have more class than that.
Right. So he took another shot at Harbaugh saying, we basically have class.
Exactly.
And Jim Harbaugh doesn't have class.
So the game we're talking about, was that the game the game against New England was in the ice?
That was in the rain.
It was like the rain. Michael Vick.
Yeah, he looked great.
He was at the top.
Sunday Night Football, four touchdown passes, Brady on the other side. They bought out, but that was also the game where Justin Smith got hurt. And he had the tricep injury, which really impacted him the rest of the season.
He didn't load manage, though.
He didn't load manage at all, man. He was back in action.
Could you imagine at the end of, like, I guess Andy Reid would be doing it with Mahomes if he was able to go, if it were a playoff game, just go. You can't do that in the NFL. Those one losses or wins
Every game matters.
888-957-9570 is the number. Mike Holmgren is at noon today. Then we're going to have Ian Williams. He's going to be on at 12:30, former San Francisco 49er. He was in the thick of this rivalry during the Harbaugh era. If you want to get back into a little bit of load management. We can get back into load management and what's going on with the NBA. Go ahead, Goo.
No, we had E40 on yesterday, and we know you are known for Bang Bang Niner Gang, but there's a lyric in the song that says, Levi's is starting to feel like Candlestick. And I wanted to say that's what's happening, the transformation. When
Not
you build
yet.
A bully, but against Cleveland,
right.
This was weeks ago.
Was
we were
rocking.
Out there. It was rock. Imagine this one. And it's Russell, a division game, Stoddy. Bring your earplugs. We're going to be out there, baby.
I'm growing uncomfortable with you saying that that's me.
Dude, Twitter was saying that they were
not
at
me. It's not me. I
can
did
we
not...
hear it? Let me hear you say Bang Bang Niner Gang.
Bang Bang Niner Gang. Okay,
40 got to do that
just,
to remix.
I just repeat it. Well, ideally what he would do is he would take that drop and put it into the song.
That's all I'm asking for.
But again.
Steiny, if 40 does that, then Guru would be asking, how come 40 couldn't run
See,
my
that's what hurts
he couldn't
me.
Drop my name in a lyric.
That's true.
That's what would happen.
That's what hurts
So it's a
me.
Good thing that that your Bang Bang Niner Gang drop is not in that song.
But then Twitter wanted it, Steiny.
I just don't want anybody to think that I think I've come up with that.
Well, we think for you, so okay. There you go.
You like that? Bang Bang Niner Gang.
Hell with them kids.
I'm just repeating.
You're
just
famous repeating. For your The Kids Can Be Disappointed. I just want to let you know. I'm
what
on
did
social
I,
media.
What I say?
A lot of people, they're calling you the GOAT.
The
greatest mirage of all time. Shout out to Rob Parker.
Let's go to Backstage Entertainment in Oakland. What's up, Backstage?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Doing well, man.
All right, I agree with Guru, really, man. As far as with the loan management thing, it really sucks. However, man, the catch 22 to it is, if you got a player, just say, for instance, all your star players like a Kawhi or a LeBron, say, for instance, if you loan managing these guys and then a fluke play happened like with Curry and they happen to get hurt. While you low managing these guys. So I agree that there's not no way to really kind of control it. But then what do you guys think if they have low management possibly for home games only? That way at least the home games, so if you know somebody like Giannis or somebody is playing on the road and you want to take the kid, they only played one time. They only played East Coast teams one time. So at least allow the road games to be played in some of the home games. What you guys think about that?
I think that's interesting, Backstage. I've heard it the other way, though. And Joe Lacob, I want to say, talked about this a few years back. He did not want his guys missing home games.
I remember that. Yeah.
If they go to Denver and miss a game,
so be it. Yeah.
So be it.
I kind of like Backstage's plan there, though, his thought process with that. Like, sit them on the road. To hell with those teams. If they and I get it from both sides. Like, you get a fan in Denver who wants to see Steph Curry. They come around one time around the East Coast, Brooklyn or New York or whatnot. I get it from both sides, and I get it from Joe Lacob. You want your players playing at home.
And you two make good points. I didn't disagree. I'm not one of those people. I listen, I learn. But, Steiny, I don't care who you are. Bonte, if you load manage, you still don't guarantee when you do play that you're not going to get hurt.
No, but
I get what you're.
But you're guaranteeing you'll probably be stronger. Like they have,
the Warriors
science,
had that thing. Yeah,
but science
tell
right
you
now.
How tired you are?
Yeah, exactly.
But what's that got them?
What's that gotten who?
Well, like it can't help Looney now with what he's going through.
Well, you can make a case the Warriors were very healthy before the last year's finals in terms of their entire 5-year run. I'm not saying they went without injury, but relatively speaking, they've been pretty healthy. I don't know. You know what? I don't know what the solution is, but I'm all ears. All right, let's head over to Anna and find out what's going on 95.7 The Game.
All right, thanks, Steiny. What's coming up on The Game is sponsored by Ticket Crushers. 49ers getting ready for their showdown against the Seahawks, but they could be without kicker Robbie Gould, who has a strained quad. His status is reportedly very much in doubt, but it is not considered serious or a long-term issue. Keep it locked on 95.7 The Game for the latest news. Then Bonte, Steiny, and Guru are walking down memory lane in some of the greatest moments between the 49ers and Seahawks. Former NFL coach Mike Holmgren will join the show at noon. Then former Niner and Niner analyst Ian Williams will hop on at 12:30 to share his memories. Raiders host the Chargers for Thursday Night Football coverage starts starts at 4 right here on 95.7 The Game. And the Warriors open up the road trip with a loss in Houston. Next up, Minnesota. D'Angelo Russell is likely to return against the T-Wolves tomorrow. You can listen to the action here on 95.7 The Game. And the guys are discussing load management. Is it good or bad for the NBA? Stay tuned to find out. Got a ticket, spend a license, DUI, don't pay. Let the attorneys at Ticket Crushers go to court for you and crush that ticket for as little as $149. Ticket Crushers knows how to win. Call 866-TICKET-HELP. That's 866-TICKET-HELP for a free consultation. I'm Anna Kagadakis on 95.7 The Game.
Bang, bang, Niner gang. Bang, bang, Niner gang. Bang, bang, Niner gang.
Bang, bang, Niner gang. Now back to Bronte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
You know, wow. your Spark or what is it?
What is it? A little Volt?
Your Prius?
Chevy Volt.
Yeah, you can have it bumping.
You drive a Volt?
Nah, you know it, baby.
You been in the Volt?
No.
My car is never vibrated because it's heavy bass. Let's put it that way.
Caddy will go crazy.
How is the caddy?
I get it out.
Is it available?
No, it's still.
I get it out tomorrow.
DNP.
When
rest,
you guys see me in this,
you
want
to talk about a car
when
that gets load managed?
When you see me with this bag, the caddy's in the shop.
Dude, good. Okay. You gotta. It's time to retire the caddy. It's okay.
It's
like
a
LeBron
spark
James
plug issue.
It's like LeBron James. Just go home. Go bald.
You
it's
sound
okay,
like this, man.
Just it's okay. Go bald. It's
I don't
all
want
right.
a payment, man.
No car gets load managed like the caddy.
Man,
seriously.
It's a spark plug issue.
And the thing about your caddy is nobody knows when it's going to get load managed.
Wow.
Put that thing on a schedule. Maybe we'll be a little bit happier.
Caddy's treated me nice. Long drives in that thing.
Swagalicious. See the Warriors game last night?
Yes, I did.
I thought it was a good game.
What about the Rocket crowd? Make a noise. It sounded like a morgue.
It's always been like that. Yeah. Wow. Late arrivals.
What about Harden, though?
What about him?
I watched hearing Vontae's voice through the first two quarters. He was awful, and then he just Vontae. Just give him credit on that step back, dude. He's shooting. Steiny, you'll give Steiny. You gonna give him credit?
What?
That step back to, and then step back and drain him.
All I know is Vontae wouldn't pay a dollar to see him.
Wouldn't pay a dollar.
How about now?
I'm wanting to go to sleep yesterday after he started clowning against the. These young baby Warriors, man. Well, it's like trying to do too much.
Apparently.
Still, and you know what? Real quick, Steiny. Yeah. He still was 10 for 23 yesterday against the baby Warriors. He didn't even shoot 50% from the field. James Harden.
Well, for him, that's pretty good.
Six 10 for 23. 16, please.
Apparently, Pascal might have said something to the Rockets bench, and then after that,
it got ugly.
Harden.
You poked the bear.
Up.
Yeah, you don't poke.
Said James Harden was food. Yeah. Said he was food. You know what that means on the basketball court. Yes. This guy can't defend.
Yeah. Wow.
Which Pascal's not lying.
How do you feel about Taco Bell?
Wow.
Talking a little bit about load management. Kawhi Leonard didn't play last night against the Bucks. Who are they playing tonight? Because everybody was like, oh, why didn't he just play tonight?
Clippers playing the Blazers tonight.
Okay.
And you know what? Regular season.
I got you.
I don't think
it
matters as much.
It's a TNT game tonight, too.
It's a TNT game, and it's a Western Conference opponent. So you got tiebreaker ramifications there with the Portland Trail Blazers.
And last night's game, I think, was an ESPN game. So
ESPN had to be hot. Like, of all the games, you're going to do this
that's
one?
Too bad.
I watched it.
Like, I couldn't care less if ESPN's mad. I don't know why.
Can I just say something?
Of course.
And I don't want to. When I watch Giannis. It's like there's no way in hell he's not going to be on the Warriors. It's like
here we go.
The reset button is Giannis. Let's do it right now.
Wow.
Steak dinner.
Why do you think that?
Because when he told the masses, even though he said he was misquoted, that if they don't win or build a winner, he's out. And now that Brogdon's gone, that's the start of it.
I'll give you ammo for the steak dinner, Guru.
He's coming to the chase.
Who did he pick first in the All-Star game last year?
Steph Curry.
Let me ask you a question.
How's the Greek community out here in the Bay Area? Greek fans of Anna Kagarakis.
Wow.
It's lit out here, Giannis.
If he's a free agent at the end of next year, I'm dead serious. Why would he come here? Why wouldn't he go to Atlanta, for example?
See,
Curry!
I'm going to answer that.
Okay.
You think Giannis is thinking like KD, like I need to go to a ready-made place. Not saying it won't be ready-made. Giannis is so good, it can start with him. The shows in town and what's left of Steph is going to be a lot. And Clay, that's more than enough.
When's the last time a player went to a team that's had as much success as the Warriors to try to build on something that homegrowns have done, but they're going to try to come in from out of that was Durant's big problem. is he wasn't homegrown. So he never felt the love. So now Giannis, after the Golden State Warriors win 3 titles in 5 years, and then they're down for a couple years, he's going to want to take on the challenge of coming to a new environment. It just doesn't.
Why hasn't
anybody gone to Chicago? Why have the Bulls not been able to sign a free agent?
A lot of players don't like cold weather cities.
And I'm gonna say that's one. No. And I think the way Reinsdorf ended it, like that, just resonated.
Right. Like, well, has anything to do with having to live up to Michael Jordan's legacy?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely
not. Oh my god.
Boozer signed. Hey, go ahead, Carlos Pete. Boozer at the time was a top 30 player. Signed with the Chicago Bulls and helped out D. Rose and
Homeboy Bowers, the best player in the NBA.
Yeah, but Giannis physically is not Steph, so it doesn't correlate. So Giannis is something, his own entity.
Ownership matters too,
and no doubt.
Joe Lacob and company want a star.
Joey Lightyear's
a star.
How are they going to get? Okay,
all right. How do they get pay grade, Stoddy?
Well, see, that's then. I mean, honestly, what does it mean?
Okay,
then?
And I'm not. And I love Draymond.
You know how they get them. There
but
you
guys
go,
like that are going to not. You got to make traded? A tough decision.
Okay,
yes.
So he's going to say, "I want to go play for the Warriors." And the Bucks are going to say, "Okay,
who are we coming back? Give us Draymond
the fossil.
Some pig, okay,
and who else?
The fossil.
Hey, Draymond, let me guess. D'Angelo Russell.
No doubt.
You
don't know who's coming with this mid-level that the Warriors are going to have in town, and this new rookie hotshot that they're going to have with this top pick that they're going to have next season.
Okay,
I'm just telling you, Stoddy, and I'm saying
that,
this,
my friends.
If it's Clay, Steph, and Giannis. Print the playoff tickets at least.
No, you know what you do, Guru? You print the Western Conference Finals tickets.
You can't stop him in the open lane from getting to the basket.
I'm not saying that Giannis is going to be a Warrior.
I'm sorry.
But I got an argument for you, Guru.
And I had a glass of wine. I had a glass of wine as I was watching that game.
Hey, I got
to say, he's coming to
win 20 games this year, the Warriors. They're going to win 20
I'm
games.
I'm with you. Okay.
You realize that they're not champions anymore.
Gotcha. But there's a reason.
But Giannis is going to come to a team like the Warriors who are aging. They're aging.
But they're going to get it fixed after this 1 year, Stoney. This is a one-off.
Okay.
Next year's Warriors,
know what Giannis
I'm
is
all back
do?
In.
Right. He's going to sign. He's going
to
get traded.
This or is
the
Warriors trade.
Are not
hypothetically
on top
in my
of
head,
the NBA anymore.
Hypothetically in my head, they got this number one top three pick coming.
All right.
Draymond Green and D'Lo in Milwaukee. You want to lose Giannis for nothing? How about you take a championship player in Draymond?
You know what I'm doing? I'm Milwaukee at this point. I say, you know what? I think I do want to lose him for nothing because I saw what happened when you guys got D'Angelo Russell. You got D'Angelo Russell, had to give up a pick, and he's not very good.
I'm going to say this, Donnie. I'm going to say this, and here I go. I'm in the lab. Everybody's acting like Giannis is the good old boy and it's 2021. There's a scenario next summer I'm not reporting. I want to get traded. I'm just
pulling an AD. You think he's going to pull an AD?
I'm just saying it's right there.
Hey, Guru,
and
what
if
about,
I knew Giannis and I said you want to make it happen sooner, you pull that card.
Since we're in fairy tale land right now,
really
since we're dreaming and throwing all these wild hypotheticals out, what about AD not signing that extension with the LA Lakers?
Hypothetical.
And,
see, I thought that was. He's in Hollywood, LA.
He says, I want to go play with Steph and Clay.
Oh, whoa. I thought you were going to Chicago.
The sooner he comes, and theoretically, the sooner he comes to a bear of a conference. So he's going to come to the Warriors, even though the 5 best teams in the league are in the West. Okay, no, you guys, you got to figure
it's exciting, it out. It's exciting, Stoney.
It's not exciting. It's not. Why
you
would
guys,
you say
what
it's
are you
exciting?
Guys betting on this?
Steak
dinner?
Yeah. But now you got me thinking, AD's not leaving L.A. He's retired.
You realize the Warriors are capped out.
Yeah, I do. I understand
capped
that.
Out.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't go sign a free agent.
I understand that.
Maybe what's the next step? They'll come here on the minimum deal? Giannis? You think you might come to
the level? Right. I know you hate that because it sounds like I'm not thinking, but Joey Lightyear's means something,
what is
Stoddy.
Really?
That means something.
He's a new AD, right?
He's in the lab now.
He's still Lightyear's. Joe Lacob's still light
years. Yeah, because this is a fluke in regard to they didn't.
No, Guru, 3 titles in 5 years is a fluke. That's
well,
the fluke.
Four. It should have been
you
four.
You don't do that all the time.
Okay. No, you're right.
I mean,
you're right. But you know what I'm saying? This
Joe
year's drama is injury.
How long did they plot out the KD
stuff?
The Warriors are not like They're not on the top of the heap anymore.
I get
that. Don't you get it?
Remember how they plotted out KD 2 years in advance?
But give me this,
they
Donnie.
Were a championship team.
A Steph Curry-led team has not failed yet. It was about to happen before he got hurt. Okay. Then it was like, damn, you know, just seeing Steph. Donnie, he's out. Okay. This is, I'm just.
Yeah, no, hey.
Hey, I'm watching Greek and I'm picturing the blue and gold on them. I'm just like, whoa. I had a sip of wine.
Let's go to Steve in Napa. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to make a couple of points to Guru about this load management. When you think of load management, you think of LeBron, you think of Greg Popovich, the Warriors, and Kawhi. Those are all very successful people in the NBA. Obviously, it works, or else they wouldn't be doing it. And another point, at Toronto's victory parade, do you think anybody was thinking about all the games he missed during that season? Was anybody thinking about load management at all the Warriors parades at Lake Merritt?
That's a great point, but I guess what I was saying is I was looking at it, Steve, for the people that came and saw, and Kawhi was at home against the game against Milwaukee, and it still doesn't make it better. But, Stoney, the people that really lose out are the ones that only get one opportunity, Bonte, to see the team, and see the player on the road.
And the Clippers fans get plenty of opportunities to see Kawhi, like tonight against the Portland Trail Blazers. Now, if he doesn't on the road, different situation. I mean, he did it last year at Oracle Arena, remember? He did it at Oracle.
You know what? And I'm going to put the rat on the table. And I didn't share it with you, Matt Steinmetz. We all talk about Kawhi not being the ego guy. He's doing a boatload of commercials. He's in L.A.
He's become
a social butterfly. Nothing wrong with that.
I saw the Terminator thing. Yeah. What else?
He had another one in the sixfold. We saw that with the drop top.
I like that.
And the crown in the
What I'm getting at is, do you think today's player that is worthy enough to get the load management day off, it's kind of like an ego thing, Steiny?
Yes,
because I saw him in that suit with the fresh braids, and it was like the 12th man ain't getting that day. You got to be the man to get the load management day off. And I'm just like, I love you, Kawhi. Nothing wrong with it. But he had a confident look like not everybody could get what I got. 2 and 3 last three games. I mean, this is the second one in the last three games.
That's what stars can do. And he's the biggest star in the league right now.
I guess you got to put the man in management.
I don't know what that means.
I have no idea what that means.
I got it from Pappas.
Pappas is Triple A Pappas.
And you know
what? You've been demoted again, buddy. Just when you thought Pappas was making the major leagues.
Well, you got to be the man, so you got to put man in management.
510 says Joe Lacob didn't build a team, Jerry West did. Now, that's simplistic.
There's a lot of people that say, wow.
That's the other thing. The Warriors don't have the same front office they had when they built this thing.
How big of an impact did Jerry West have on all that?
Jerry West, he picked Klay Thompson. To hear everybody say it, Jerry West closed on Kevin Durant.
That was our guy, Mr. Larry Riley. Didn't he pick Klay Thompson? Larry Riley?
Well, yes, but what I'm saying is Larry Riley gets credit for nothing.
Nothing, but the fans say the logo.
Oh, I hear. Okay.
Exactly. Larry Riley doesn't even get credit for drafting Steph Curry. Don Nelson tries to weasel that.
Well, I'll say this about the logo. Who closed the Kawhi deal? That's all. I'm just saying. A lot of people give
Jerry West is the greatest GM the league's ever known. So what does that mean?
How was he? Why didn't he stay here?
Why didn't who stay here?
Because
Joe Lacob wouldn't pay him what he wanted.
And it could have cost Joe
Lacob. And because Joe Lacob is going in another direction front office-wise.
Well, it did cost you KD.
We don't have Jerry West, don't have Travis Schlenk, but you have Kirk Lacob and
Mike Dunleavy Jr.
Fellas, is KD could still be a Warrior, and that thing may not have blew up in front of everybody had the logo still been in town. That's real. That's all I'm saying, Stoney.
That's what I said.
Oh, yeah. I'm backing you up.
Let's go to Kane in Oakland. What's up, Kane?
I'm in your foxhole.
Man, what's up, BS&G? Hey.
What's up, man?
Man, feeling a little upset about y'all right now. I don't believe what y'all talking about right now. You're telling me about low management is good. Dude, I done watched the league from the 80s to the 90s. Watching dudes play 82 games. Hard, too. I mean, way more physical, Stoney. Way more physical. These dudes are bigger, stronger, faster. You telling me they need rest? Why? They toe hurt? What's going on, man?
Ask Gary Payton about load management. Let's get Gary Payton on the phone about load management.
I'm just saying, those guys played 82 games, but if it was proven that playing 65 games would be better for their long-term durability and would make them better players during the playoffs of each of those seasons. Larry Bird might have only played 65 games a year.
So do you think it wasn't Shaq their was study, or were they just more like
maybe
me?
Maybe if Kevin McHale was load-managed, he wouldn't have had to play the 1987 NBA Finals with a broken foot and was the reason maybe they didn't win it that year.
I guess what I'm saying, Steiny, is bigger. You're right, but it's bigger than science. These guys, it was their job. They were men going to work. They weren't prima donnas. And I'm with you. Maybe the science was there, but Bonte, it's not too hard to think, well, if I sit him down 10 games, he plays 72, he'll be fresher. They didn't care about that. They were men.
Well,
it was about the team and the city.
We didn't care about seatbelts back in the day. There are advancements. There are advancements that are making.
You got me down that one.
That's what part of progress is.
You know who else was low managed in the 90s, late 90s and early 2000s?
Give it to me.
Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal was load managed.
All right, but he was hurt.
And what did he do in the fight? Was he really?
Yeah. Okay.
He was load managed.
He would take
the first 2 months of the season off, and then when the playoffs, what happened? He was the most dominant
Kobe
force in the league.
Kobe says it cost him a couple championships.
How?
Because he was being a lazy ass.
No, Kobe cost him a championship by being a ball hog.
Yeah, that too.
Dallas and Hayward. What's up, Dallas? How are you, man?
Hey, fellas. How's it going? Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, good. Hey, so I got a couple of points about the load management. So the players are sitting out, for these games, trying to rest their bodies for their season. Maybe they claim injury, maybe they don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the NBA's got an issue regarding, the fans and then the TV contracts and stuff, wanting these players to basically do their jobs and perform.
Right.
So one of the possible solutions that I'm looking at from a fan perspective is that if a player decides to take a rest day, why don't they just after the game have a little meet and greet with the fans at the stadium there or at the Coliseum? So that way the fans have the opportunity to still meet the superstar or get an autograph. As far as the TV person are concerned, media, maybe the player could have an exclusive interview afterwards with those networks. Just trying to think of possible solutions for those who are displeased with the situation. Thanks. I'll take your answers off the air.
I mean, those are some ideas. I don't
want to meet the guy. I want to see him perform.
You'd rather meet the guy than watch him play.
I'm thinking of the kids.
Yeah, that's a problem with our
hell
society.
With them kids.
The hell with the kids.
Oh my Lord. That's the game.
I mean, I have never. I cannot believe the way kids get catered to. The hell with the kids. Seriously.
This is great.
So I'm going to an NBA game. I'm taking my son or daughter to an NBA game. That's not good enough. That's not good enough.
No, goo goo.
The hell with the kids.
They're disappointed that said player.
Oh, they're disappointed. Really? Well, if they're disappointed, then let's make sure to give them every single thing they want.
Like, you would have been disappointed had Trae Young not played, but you're an adult, so you would have compartmentalized it, and you wouldn't let it affect your kids. Take it. It's trauma. Like, oh, man, I thought I was coming to see Steph.
Well, Steph, so you traumatic? It's traumatic? Well, then again, we're the problem if that's traumatic.
Well, you hear people call all the time saying how they got stiffed as a kid for autographs, and what I say to that is like, kid, get over it. It's just a signature.
Wow.
You're not going to get nothing for it.
Oh,
people complain about it. Yeah, I mean, it is weak. All that stuff is weak.
And, like, the other thing is people think that I was kind of being, I don't know what the word is, when I'm like, don't buy the ticket. I'm
harsh.
Dead serious. Don't buy the ticket. If this bothers you so much that you may buy a ticket to a game in which the star doesn't play, don't buy the ticket. Maybe you send a message. Next thing you know, they're not selling out. If, like, this can become an issue that you can force it down the NBA's throat to deal with it. I'm not saying don't buy a ticket, like, mocking you. I'm saying seriously, if it does bother you, then don't buy a ticket. Don't. Because, like, nothing's promised.
I just, maybe they need a different name, wording, Steiny, because I'm going to tell you this. These dudes, and I know it's just, they get paid so much money, and for regular folk, which I am, it sounds like they're too high on the hog an hour before the game, after you pay the money, hey, he's sitting out. We don't care about you. It's about us winning the championship. That message is just coming from the rich. That's just, it don't sit
so
well
what
with
does
me.
Rich have to do with anything? They worked their ass off to become pros. They weren't given it.
Okay.
Like, I can't stand that. It's a privilege to play in
but
the NBA.
But when you haven't
isn't.
Played 10 games in a
you
season and you're sitting out 2-10, Kawhi Leonard, that's a problem. JD, that's a problem.
That's a problem.
What's a problem? Nick?
What,
Kawhi
so
Leonard?
Soon? 2 games out of 10 for load? Not, I heard load man. Damn.
Yeah. You know what? He may play longer than any other player in the NBA. And don't forget, this is a player who only played 9 games 2 years ago. Nine games. He had to miss the entire season. We always hear, oh, a guy who gets this injury might take 2 years for him to get back. Okay, well then that second, you know what? When Klay Thompson gets load managed next year because he's coming off an ACL, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear
now,
it.
Now what if I said,
you know what the fans
people
also don't know? Hey, you know what the fans don't also know about Kawhi Leonard? And luckily I was in that locker room on opening night. Kawhi Leonard is spending an hour and 15 minutes after every game getting treatment from playing to make sure that he's ready to go 2 days from now. Fans don't know that. The things that he has to go through to get ready to play these damn games. So fans should be thankful that he is playing 60 or 65 games because of the stuff that he goes through before game and after a game to even prepare or even be able to play these games, what I'm trying to say. Treatment that he goes through. Fans don't know that, man.
Mike Holmgren. Former coach of the San Francisco 49ers and Seattle Seahawks coming up in 5 minutes. Let's hit up Anthony. Anthony wants to get into this discussion. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I'm on the fence on this. I think that they're paid a lot of money, so they should suck it up. But as a future owner, I feel that that they shouldn't have the back-to-back games. I think that they should only be able to take the load management games at home and that the home team should give some kind of discount to them. But because they're what they're doing to their body is not normal and the body needs time to heal. And I think that by stretching out the games and not putting them back-to-back, I think that's where they're getting hurt.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 480 says, oh, and us regular folks don't work our butts off, Steiny? Of course you do. Of course you do. But these guys are NBA players, all right? Those aren't dime a dozen jobs. They earned their right to get there. They worked harder and they had more talent and they took advantage of their talent and they got to the top, the tip top of their profession. It's like, oh, well, they're just like a postman. I got news for you. No, they ain't. They ain't like postmen. They ain't like radio hosts. They're not. They're elite.
Exactly my point. Elite.
Hello?
And they get paid like elitists, that they are. But you're not saying, like we talked about, they're not laying bricks in 99-degree heat every day. They're not on the freeways with the jackhammer. You know what I'm talking about, Bonte. They're not digging ditches, that hard physical stuff that people can't take. Hey, boss, I ain't going to be here today. I'm going to take load management.
But the fatigue thing, that's what bothers me. They take cross-country flights all year long. They have
and
to
hotels
practice.
In the
they
air.
They get bothered. Oh,
get massages
on, man.
In the air.
Come on, man.
Chefs cooking ribs.
Come on,
and
man.
Whatever filet mignon.
Come on.
What do you mean?
Playing
not
at a high-level
player
basketball games year long? Come on, man.
All right, coming up next. Mike Holmgren. He'll be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
The hell with the kids.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, coming up at 12:30, we got Ian Williams, former San Francisco 49er, who's in the thick of the 49ers-Seahawks rivalry during the Jim Harbaugh era. But right now, let's head out to the dial pad guest line.
Joining us right now, the former head coach of the Green Bay Packers and Seattle Seahawks. He won the Super Bowl in 1996 with Green Bay. Mike Holmgren joining us. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. And I want to start with back in 2002 when the Seahawks joined the NFC West. Did you sense any of the rivalry starting with the 49ers back then?
I think so. You know, and maybe it was I put a little extra emphasis on it because, you know, I coached for the 49ers. I grew up in San Francisco. I love that football team. And so when you're playing against your brother coaching or one of my old coaches coaching and or something, you're really it fires your competitive juices. And I think it started a really good rivalry.
Mike, I refer to you as the quarterback guru. I mean, you look at Steve Young, Brett Favre, Matt Hasselbeck, and in 89-90, Joe Montana won two MVPs under your tutelage. And my question is, when you look at Jimmy Garoppolo, do you see greatness? And how important is it for a team to have a great quarterback?
Well, I'll start with the last question first. I think if you have to have a great quarterback, I think to get to the Super Bowl and win it. I really believe that. Now, teams have done it in the past, but not many. The Bears in 85, Baltimore, you could make a case for that with great, great defenses, shutdown defenses. But really, you got to have that guy. And when the 49ers made that trade, clearly they did it, and New England could not keep Jimmy. You know, I ran into the same situation with Favre. They're going to play a long time. Brady's going to play a long time, so whoever is backup, you know, is going to get a chance with another team. 49ers made a great move, and I think. But I will caution. I would just caution everybody that, you know, to achieve greatness, you know, it takes a little time, and he hasn't played a lot. And but what I've seen, you know, unfortunately got hurt. But what I've seen this year, you know, he's very very cool, very very poised, and does the right stuff, If you got the quarterback, the other pieces you can find.
Mike, when you got up to Seattle, I know you guys weren't playing at CenturyLink Field yet. You're still playing at the Kingdom. Then you moved to Husky Stadium. But it seems like CenturyLink Field is now one of the best home field advantages in all of football outside of Arrowhead Stadium, of course. And the Niners, since the Seahawks have moved to the NFC West, have only won up there four times. So when you became the head coach of the Seahawks, did you realize what type of football town that was or how crazy people were over the Seahawks?
You know, I really didn't. Not when I accepted the job. I knew it was a great city. I knew the Kingdom had a great reputation. I was only in there 1 year. But it took a while. When we built the new stadium, early on, the first couple of years, there was a lot of different colored shirts in there. They were not able to sell it out like they do now. And then all of a sudden, our team started getting better. And the 12th man, I would credit Todd Lewicki, who was our CEO, and bringing in the 12th man. And gradually, it became just a party on Sundays. I mean, and it is very, very difficult for an opponent to come in there and play. I remember Joe Gibbs phoning me after we beat them in the playoffs, his last game as a head coach for the Redskins. And he phoned me, and I had known him a little bit. And he goes, "Mike, you pipe in noise, don't you?" He was phoning me to recommend another player, another coach. And I said, "Coach, we don't." And he goes, "No, you can tell me. No, tell me the truth. You pipe."
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.